Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Tar Heel 24/7, a UNC basketball podcast. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the channel. Without further ado, I want to bring in one of my guys, my front court mate, two bigs back in the day. I got a special place in my heart for this guy. We did a lot of good things. Tyler Zeller, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on. I miss our days back in the day, you know, chasing around.
We had some good synergy, man. We played really well together. So that makes me happy when I watch clips of us.
I agree. And I still remember the conversation we had where you said, I'll block all the shots until somebody tries dunking on me. I'm like, okay, I guess I get those.
Got you. Yep.
But goodness gracious, it was fun.
Good to see you. So look, before we get to Carolina, talk to me, what are you up to? I know you are involved heavily in the university. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so I've done the radio for 2.5 the first year. Was filling in for Eric Montross as he got sick. He asked me to do it. Yeah. The first time I did it, I was like, I'm not going to do this. And then I got home from the game and my wife's like, how did it go? I was like, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of progressed from there. I do all the games except for about 8 this year. Hansbrough's doing the other 8. And then I just started working as a consultant for Rams Club, which is our fundraising group on campus. And it's been fun doing a couple events with them and just trying to help get some people back to basketball and get excited about basketball again.
Infuse some new young blood into there too, man. The Rams Club, they got some old OG. We'll call them OGs.
Yeah.
OGs. So hopefully they get them to understand the new wave, like the TikToks and all that stuff, right?
Oh goodness. We are trying to. It's been a interesting transition, but we're searching. We're trying to find that new group.
Okay.
We got the old heads holding it down, but we're trying to find the next generation that's going to carry us through.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So let's kind of start back from the beginning, right? You committed to Carolina. How did they first kind of express interest in you? By the way, I meant to tell you this. I don't know if you knew this. You're the one of the first guys I've seen at these big tournaments. I saw you at Kingwood Classic. You're playing on the main court, I think, against the T-Mac All-Stars.
Okay.
And the only reason I remember that, because you were killing. I was like, who is this guy? So tell me how Carolina got started. But you remember that tournament?
Yes, I do. So that was one of my 3 tournaments, breakout tournaments. So mm-hmm. I went from unranked to top 25 in basically 3 weekends. Yeah. We had that one. We had Chapel Hill one and then one other. Been too long to remember exactly where it was, but broke out in those 3 weekends. I've been talking to Coach Holiday. Coach Smooth, mm-hmm. He'd been with me for about 6 months to a year. And then I progressed from there, and then Coach Williams got involved. And it was always funny because, you know, how competitive Coach Williams is. And they could only call us once a week. And so he asked Coach Holiday, he's like, have you talked to Tyler this week? And I told Coach Holiday's like, yeah, I talked to him last night. He called me. And he's like, he never calls me. I love Coach Holiday. I just called him. But anyway, progressed from there. Purdue came down to Indiana, Purdue, and North Carolina. Indiana, Calvin Sampson had just got fired.
Okay.
So no coach.
Yeah.
And then Purdue, at the time, I did not believe they could win a championship. But that was Lewis Jackson, Etuan Moore, Robbie Hummel, Juwan Johnson, good group. But I was like, I want to win a championship. So came to North Carolina. Got lucky enough to be on that team my freshman year. And then after that, we tried to run it off for a few years there.
Yeah. Hey, listen, that's a tough decision. Like Indiana, Purdue back home. I mean, those are high level basketball schools.
And yeah.
Yeah. I would not envy your decision. And then, you're in it. Well, how was the pressure being from there, from those schools? Like how was this is what it was?
I think Indiana losing Sampson, everybody like, why didn't you go to Indiana? I was like, they didn't have a coach. They're like, oh, okay. That's fine. It made it easy to get out. I think my little brother Cody got caught up a little more in the, you got to go to Indiana. You're right here. And so they landed him. I wish we could have got him, but
I think if Indiana was kind of at the level that they were when Cody was, you probably would have been a little higher on them because they were pretty good, all the deep on those guys. So they were pretty good.
That was
so,
a good group.
That was a good group for sure. So you enter Carolina fall of 2008, easy, Larry, Jay Watts, right? What was it like entering kind of with such a high-level freshman class? Like, how was that?
And Ed Davis. So we were competing. I mean, we went at it for, I don't know, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to start. Hansborough was hurt. So, you know, I started over him. Yep. Not at all. But played well my first game. Got hurt my second game against Kentucky. Shattered my wrist. And then I was out for about 10 and a half weeks. Came back and kind of was on the journey trying to prepare Hansborough and not get beat up too much during practice. But it was great just to be able to learn and build from there. Seeing a reigning player of the year, how he practices, how hard he goes, being able to learn from him and then trying to run with it the next year.
How was practicing against Tyler Hansborough? Because I know you did not envy that.
I loved it. Yeah. I did. Because, okay. I mean, for me, coming back from an injury, I was like, all right, I got an opportunity. In practice, there's nothing embarrassing. Nobody's watching. Like, I can go at him. And I had a couple of days I wouldn't say outplayed him, but I played well enough to compete with him. Mm-hmm. And then there's other days that he just destroyed me. And Coach Rob called every foul for him. It wasn't fair. Like, Coach Rob, I did not foul him that time. He's like, yeah, he missed it. He don't miss that. I'm like,
come on. Yeah, yeah. So. I mean, practicing against him every day probably would have been fun just because of who he is and what he brought to the table. Yeah. So you probably got a little better. So, boom. I actually tell this story. I haven't asked you about this story. People always ask me. I say, listen, the year, my sophomore year, when everyone's going to leave, Z was the one trying to leave. We were all going to stay. Z said, look, you know, Z's business school, one of the most intelligent human beings I've ever been around. He's like, listen, man, seniors drafted high in the lottery. Just, I don't think it's a good gamble. I'm not with that. So tell me your thought process. And what you remember about that situation of, you know, ultimately choosing to stay at Carolina.
Hey, you and Harrison got it done though. I mean, I was 50-50. So I didn't have an agent, but through my older brother's agent, I had heard that, you know, that there's a certain position I could have gone and I'm like, dang, that's hard to turn down. And, I remember you and Harrison showed up at my house that we were at. And like, I was like, hey, if y'all are coming back, I'm good. I was like, I am not coming back. And like, y'all are gone.
Yeah.
Kendall's gone. I'm like, I'm not trying to carry this as a one man ship. And so, y'all were like, hey, let's do it. Let's come back. And, people still ask me all the time that my senior year, junior, like, you guys win a championship if Kendall doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think we played Kentucky for it.
Yeah.
I was like, that was the only team that we matched up with that. And we had lost that earlier that year by one. And they're always like, the game John got blocked. I'm like, no, the game Dexter broke off that play in the corner.
Yes.
Like, we don't turn that over. We don't even get to that play.
Yes. And so it's so funny because, you know, going back to, you know, the decision to stay, I think we all, Harrison would have went top three. I would have been the number one or two power forward off the board. So I would have been, you would have been flat. So like, I feel like we all took a step back our junior year, just from the draft perspective. Yeah. It was just a stronger draft. You had AD, and those guys up there, but I wouldn't trade it for the world because I went to an organization that Milwaukee was like shocked that I dropped 14 and that kind of carried me through my 7 years there. So I'm happy that I didn't go high enough where they were like, and I didn't play well. They're like, all right, we'll get rid of them. So,
yeah, I agree with you. Cause I went to Cleveland and they were so excited to have me. And I'm like, I wasn't a normal 17 draft pick of all right, let's go to the G League. You'll get there. Yeah. Like they were so excited to have me and I got to play and eventually start that year. And it gave me a great experience. So,
And so boom, let's go back to the Kentucky game because see, the thing was, I was not supposed to get that shot.
You were not. You got thrown a bomb.
And you, I tell people all the time, AD, who he is now is great, but he was an 18-year-old kid. You were a grown man. Yeah. You're killing him. You're killing him all day. And you had him under the basket. You would have right hook. We would have went home. So you lose the ball. Ball comes back to me. The last thing I saw was him guarding you. I'm not even thinking he could get out there.
Oh, yeah.
And he blocked
the shot. He closed the ground quick.
Yeah, he blocked the shot. So that was it's funny that you said Dex broke off the play. I remember that, but people don't realize that in game situation.
Yeah. I still don't know why he's supposed to go to the wing and he curled to the corner. And I still don't know what he did. We ran that play 100 times, but For some reason, it goes right through his hands. And, you know, even if he catches it, we probably shoot two free throws, possibly go up three. Who knows? It's a tough one. And then we played them. It was a year before in the tournament, Brandon Knight hit those two threes, and we should have had them then, too.
Well, you know, in that situation, I'll never forget it because I played with B. Knight. So, Liggins turns down. I don't know if you remember this. Liggins turns down the first three. And all I hear is Calipari go, "If you effing ever turn down another three in this, you will never play for me." And he, and all MFers, is getting after him. So the next one he got, he let it go and hit it. I'm like, I guess that's good coaching, you know.
So, it is, but goodness, those are two tough games
for sure. So, all right, so moving on, right? So let's go to this year's team, right? They're 9-1, only loss to the Michigan State. You do radio, 12th ranked in the country. Give me your impressions of this team this year, what they've done.
I think one of the biggest things is Henry Vassar and Caleb Wilson. They do everything. I mean, they're unbelievable inside. They, Caleb Wilson, just the athleticism and ability to make everything happen. But the craziest thing I can't figure out is why Caleb is elevated when Henry's in. And because I think Henry just dominates inside, he's able to control the paint so well, it allows Caleb to play freer. And then also they're doubling Caleb now, and Caleb and Henry pass the ball so well. Like tonight against ETSU, they're going to try to trap pick and rolls. If our guards can get off the ball and get it to those bigs, they're going to have a heyday inside. But it just watching those two has been really fun. Getting Trimble back soon, I think, is going to help tremendously. Like Michigan State being able to guard Fears, I think, would have changed that game. I don't know if we win it, but it would have slowed him down. And he wouldn't have been as dominant. So I think just being able to progress that, and then like hopefully Jonathan Powell's coming out of his shell. You know, he had a good game defensively as well as offensively. The backup five still terrifies me. I don't know where they're going. And then the Dixon Evans point guard combination, I think, has been really good. I think Evan stays as a starter, short term, possibly long term. And then Dixon, if he comes in and plays well, he gets more minutes than Evans. If he doesn't, you stick with Evans. I think he's just done it longer. He's more consistent, played longer. And then Dixon has that ability game to game to play more.
Yeah, I kind of always talk about Powell. When I watch him just off the ball, he defends at a high level. He has pride on that end, and no one really talks about, you know, him being potentially the X factor, right? Off the bench guy that can kind of elevate us. So I'm glad you see the same things we see. So Caleb Wilson, he's been a revelation, obviously. I think we thought he was good, but I don't know if we thought he was good. Top five pick, like Locke good. So what are your thoughts on like of him and how his game will translate to the next level?
I think he's great. So first of all, start personality-wise, he is the nicest kid. Yeah. He's highly energetic. He's a guy that brings it every day, whether it's conversations or practice. I think as a player, he's a guy who's just fun to watch. You want to get behind because he's so energetic. He's ready to go. And then his athleticism obviously shows his ability to get to the rim. I think his ability to shoot, but mostly in the mid-range. He's got that fadeaway jump shot that is money every time he gets to it. And you can't guard it, can't do anything about it. And then he's also got the abilities, quick spin, get to the rim. He's going to out jump everybody. And then defensively, he can go get rebounds. I mean, he just makes plays. He can guard. He allows you to switch one through four. I think he translates well to the NBA if he can just get a little bit bigger and not lose the athleticism.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good. I mean, and then the scary part, I think that, you know, OKC with the Clippers is going to get a top five pick. And so they're going to get like one of those, the Bonzas, Petersons. I think that they won't. Wilson, like, dude, they have Chet, but like, can you imagine them being able to like kind of like,
oh my gosh,
roll Chet and him out there, or Isaiah Hartenstein have a three kind of big? I mean, if he can get on OKC, man, good luck to the NBA.
It's unbelievable. And his athleticism is something I haven't seen in a long time.
Yes.
Like, he comes out of nowhere and just flies. Like, holy smokes.
The lob he had on the 4-5 pick and roll where,
yes,
you don't see that
often, like here.
Yeah, you don't see that often in the NBA. Like, I had to kind of run that back a few times because, I mean, he was looking in the rim. So it's a scary sight to see that kid coming down the court full speed. So
fun to watch, isn't it?
Ooh, yeah. All right. So I don't know if you kind of study, you know, I know you got the game East Tennessee with Ohio State coming up on Saturday. I'll be there. So I don't know if you'll be in town.
You coming to Ohio State?
Yeah, I'm coming to town. Yeah. I'm gonna be there. So they're 8-2 on the season. Bruce Thornton is their bucket getter. He's averaging 22 a game. What does Carolina need to do on Saturday to beat these guys?
I think one of the biggest things, we got to play defensively. I think the games that we've played really well, we defend, we switch 1-4, we keep everything in front of us. You know, that's where Henry's so good. The guards can really press up and try to run him off the 3-point line and then create those mid-range opportunities because he can guard at the rim, he can defend there. You know, the only game I've seen, Kentucky did a really good job of doing the Gortat where you run into the big and take him out of the play.
Yep.
The second half we adjusted. I think so, we got to make sure we clean that up. And then hopefully we make some threes. I think the games we've played really well, we get some 3-point shots. We're going to score in the paint. We're going to make things happen in there. I think we just got to make a couple threes. And then lastly, take care of the ball. If you don't turn the ball over, we've been really good.
Yeah, and Ohio State tends to go on these weird scoring droughts where it looks like they're only going to score like 60 points. And then, then they'll explode, and then all of a sudden they're back in the game. So we've got to be aware of them. I think they were down 16 last game, and they end up coming back. So it'll be interesting. I'll be there. Hopefully Tarios can get a W. And so next, what, Seth Trimble, any word on his return or when he'll be available, or have you seen him working out around school campus?
So, I was at practice yesterday. He's on the blue team. He's playing a little 5-on-5. He's getting reps in. I don't think he plays tonight. I don't know any inside information. I think he's still working his way back. I think maybe Saturday, probably next Tuesday, somewhere in there. But again, I don't know. It just depends on how he progresses, how it is. You got to kind of keep that ramp up. Yeah. He said his first day back, Creighton Lebo's on staff, and he goes, Creighton blew by me twice. And he's like, it's like out of rhythm. He's like, he would not be able to blow by you in full form. And so just trying to get those reps, get back in a rhythm so that when he does come back, he's ready to go.
Cool. Yeah. I think him being out, kind of like with Kansas with Peterson being out, everybody's kind of found themselves. And so being him not coming in, I think everyone's has a role. They know Seth's going to come in and play well, defend. So I think it's only going to help us tremendously when he comes back.
Yeah, I don't know where the minutes come from, but it's going to help a lot.
Good problem to have, man. Look, fight it out. Look, competition breeds the best, you know.
It does.
Bring the best out of you. So,
and you'd rather have that and then be like, ooh, we have this gaping hole that we need to fill.
Exactly. Hey, listen, if you know guys in front of you or you know that these minutes are tight, you're going to have to play better and be more focused. Yeah. So I'm not upset at that.
I agree.
So, all right. So next, the question everyone wants to know is about this arena. I know you're part of the Rams Club, so you know you can only speak on so much. What are the kind of things that Carolina's discussing or doing for this arena and decisions they have to make in the future?
Yeah, I think one of the things – so there's one of two things. They're either going to renovate the Dean Dome or they're going to build a new arena. And what we're hearing is that the old airport on campus, off campus, it's about a mile north of campus, but it's technically owned by the campus, so it's on campus. So – I think they're going to do one of the two. We're just kind of waiting to see what the chancellor and athletic directors decide. But as far as that goes, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I know there's a lot of stuff going on right now internally, trying to research everything from traffic flow to admissions to profitability to of which one's the best. And so we'll see where it ends up.
Need some good parking, by the way. That's my pet peeve.
We for do arenas. Need.
I don't want to walk far, and I want to be able to park at a reasonable price at a reasonable distance. So
I would agree with that. I mean, we got that like tiny little Manning lot down the side. It's good. Yes. But goodness, that part would be good. I think up there they'd have a big parking lot. They're also talking about doing restaurants and all that kind of stuff, which like a multi-purpose campus if they do it up there.
Yeah, I know like a lot of arenas are doing that now. Like, you know, I know Milwaukee built their new one. I remember there briefly where they have like the Deer Valley with all these restaurants and shopping. So I think all the arenas are doing that type of thing, just to have it essentially like a game day plaza hangout before and after. So that sounds nice.
It does sound nice. So we'll see. I mean, obviously the history of the Dean Dome makes it hard to leave. So we'll see which one wins out. I do like it on campus. I wish they could do all of that on campus. But it'll be interesting which direction they go.
Yeah. And then, you know, I don't know if with all this NIL, I don't know if the players are even, and I enjoy being able to walk at least my first few years to practice and back in that late night.
Oh, yeah.
God forbid you got to drive your, Audi to
I guess it's we weren't driving cars like that back then.
Yeah, I guess it's not a problem these days, right?
Yeah. So
we'll see. All right, before I let you go, I got two more questions I ask everyone that comes on. First, name a Tar Heel player outside of your era, younger or older, that you know wish you maybe could have played with.
Played with? Yes. I mean, it'd probably have to be a point guard. I mean, I loved pick and roll. I loved running. Played with Ty Lawson a little bit my freshman year. I would have loved to have a bigger role with him just because of his ability to get up and down the floor. But I'd go probably Raymond Felton. I mean, again, another elite point guard. I don't know enough about him, but Ed Cota, both of those guys, elite point guards who can get up and down, push the pace. I think it'd be really fun just to try to keep up with them and see what they could do as a point guard.
I agree. I chose the same guys. So we are the same thing. The passers.
We think alike.
Yeah, the passers. We're going to get the guys that want to pass. So
that's right.
So name your Tar Heel all-time starting five, and I'll give you a six man. So that way, if you leave someone out, you can bring them in.
That is a tough question. I mean,
yeah.
I got to go Ty Lawson for point guard. I think his and specifically the year they won it. I mean, having eight steals in the first half against Michigan State, he's the only guy I've ever seen be able to get the ball in and literally run around everybody and shoot a layup on the other end. Just his explosiveness. I got to go with a lot of guys in my era. Wayne Ellington in the Final Four, unbelievable. Hansborough, obviously, at the five. I think I don't think anybody will argue with that one.
Right.
That four is tough. I mean, you got Rasheed Wallace, Marvin Williams. Another one is, do you go like their college ability or what they became?
Well, I was going to say college. I mean, but, the Marv was really, I mean, I think Henry and Caleb set him in, they matched a record him and Big May had where first with 18 plus and 14 plus rebounds in the same game or something. So he was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously you got to go Jordan, Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson.
Yep.
Rasheed Wallace. Like that's your all-time. You go what they actually became, if you go based on what they were in college, you still got to go Jordan, Vince, Twan. I still don't know how Vince and Twan didn't win another championship. But I go Ty Lawson, Jordan, Vince.
You got six.
Okay, so Twan, Rasheed Wallace, and T. Hans.
I like that.
Okay,
that
mix them in however you want.
That is an insane front court. So
it is.
I'm not mad at that. So look, I'm gonna let you go. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah.
As always, I miss you. I'll see you soon. Appreciate you giving us the time, Tar Heel Pod the time, and happy holidays.
Hey, appreciate it. You keep doing your thing, man. Happy holidays.
I'll see you
in Atlanta.
Yes, sir. So, as always, thanks for watching on YouTube and listening to wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to check out TarHeel247.com for the latest wall-to-wall coverage of Carolina Athletics. See you next time.